'Tis good to be with you this morning. And I do bring greetings. I've been asked to bring greetings from Fernhill Heath Baptist Church, where I come from now in Worcestershire. We had a great time with John came to visit us earlier in the year with Lynn. And I actually had a text, or a few texts, to specifically say to pass on greetings to Lynn and John Bishop. Now, I have to go back and tell National Athlete, not Bishop John or John Bishop, but we did have a laugh when John was with us. But we also had some great times of fellowship together as well. I was a little bit anxious, is the word, when I first went to KB Baptist Church and John was the youth leader. Then John was on the diaconate and I became one of the youth leaders there. And then John moved on into ministry and I became one of the deacons there. And then John talked to me once, said, Jeff, I think you should go into ministry. And so like John, I followed him into ministry. I'm really worried if he becomes the next pope. Because will that mean a natural, I'm sure it won't. I do bring greetings from Fernhill Heath. We're a small fellowship in Worcestershire, 3 miles north of Worcester. And the lovely thing about the fellowship is that we are, in some ways, we're the only church in the village, which is great in some ways because people identify with their church as the church in the village. But we're surrounded by lots of different towns and churches. And this picture here is, this next one, is a picture of Fernhill Heath Baptist Church. This is the little bit where I can be a little bit self-indulgent. Before you get the 1,000 photographs from Hong Kong and China and everywhere next week, you've got about half a dozen from Fernhill Heath. So I know this is a bit indulgent, but hopefully it will fit in to the message that I'm going to bring this morning. And so, go back one, please. So this is the fellowship. On the right is the morning congregation, and underneath, who are waving, is the evening congregation, which suggests the evening are more welcoming than the morning. But I don't think that is the case. We're just 40 members, 42 members, something like that. And the church has been there for over 100 years, the chapel part, new parts have been built, and it was planted by Worcester Baptist Church. They used to walk 3 miles up the hill to Fernhill Heath and used to take outdoor services for a long time, and then they went inside somebody's home, then somebody bought them a plot of land, and then they met in the chapel. And only 20 years ago, they actually became independent. I think they like being part of Worcester. And so this is the fellowship, and they send their greetings to you this morning. Now, the next slide shows some of the things that we do. Now, there is a purpose to this. This is our Thursday diners, because they dine on a Thursday. See the way they came up with that name? But really, really strategically thinking in this. Great, great name. And once a month, we have a lunch club. The next slide is our snack and chat once a month. They call it snack and chat because we snack and chat. When we meet. Do you know, see how they came up with that? It's brilliant, isn't it? And so we do that once a month, and it's a time of fellowship, the church and the community get together. The next one is our Wednesday morning ladies group. Now, it's called that because they meet on a Wednesday morning, and they've been meeting for a long, long time doing various things, and it's growing. The next group, I don't know why the next group's called this, but they meet on a Friday, but it's not called the Friday Men's Group, it's called the Grumpy Men's Club. We were really struggling to sort of build that bridge from men in the community, and so we set up a social sort of activity, and it's grown to about 18 men now who do meet together, socialize together, and some come to our Christmas services, some now come on a Sunday as well. And that's an annual sports quiz they do in the bottom right. It was great to see the children. The next slide is a demonstration. Open the Book is taken off nationally. I'm sure it's done around here as well. The guy on the left said, Jeff, I can't act. I don't want to do Open the Book going to schools, but I wouldn't mind coming and seeing what goes on. By the third week, he was playing Moses. And he thought he was Charlton Heston, you know, dividing their teeth. It's just been brilliant, and God's really blessed him. But we have very few children that come, very few children. So most of our children's work is done outside the church in the local community. And the next one, this is one that's really precious to us, is our mission partnerships and links. Our Uganda partnership is on the left-hand side. And Malawi Church Link is on the right, and we support a BMS mission work in Afghanistan as well. And we've really been blessed. We've sent two teams out to Uganda, and we've received one team, another team come next year, and we helped to plant this church in Malawi, and we continue to support that. So why am I telling you all this? Am I just being indulgent and trying to show off about what a little church does? Hopefully not, because when John came to our fellowship and shared with us, he announced in the middle of the service, he does this, I've noticed, and he announced, wouldn't it be good to pray for one another? And all our church said, yeah, that'd be a good idea. But me being me and John being John, we haven't really organized anything yet, have we? So this is, in a sense, Fenleith Baptist Church, and we'd love your prayers. And these are some of the prayers that we would really appreciate at the moment for our discovery group. This is like after Alpha group. There's about a dozen people who want to explore more after Alpha. So that's that. There's a dignity course, which is a really tough but a really great course that we're being challenged by that BMS have run. Our young people's work, as I've explained. And our Christmas services, we get, literally, we will get 100 visitors all over the Christmas period. Very few will be there in January. But we pray and we pray, and we have seen little things in the community, but we really would appreciate your prayers that the Spirit does a great work in people's hearts this Christmas. Okay. And our next slide is what we're going to talk about very briefly this morning. And I just want to read from 1 Thessalonians, particularly looking at verse 1. But hopefully all what I've shared about the Church of Jesus Christ fits in with what I'm going to talk about, the Church of Jesus Christ this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, I'll just have a drink. I noticed there was a pint glass here. I've never been anywhere. Now, this to me says a few things. It could mean that John preaches for a long time. That was... Paul, Silas, and Timothy, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1. To the Church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. May the Lord bless his word to us. Paul, Silas, and Timothy to the Church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. The church is a wonderful thing. We've, as a small fellowship, we're for many years supported by Home Mission, which helped to support my stipend because we couldn't afford a minister for many years. The Lord's been faithful to us and we can now support, we're self-sufficient at the moment. But whilst we were being supported by Home Mission, every year I was invited to different churches to speak about Home Mission. And it was great just to be able to go to lots and lots of different churches, small churches, large churches, and to be able to see the Church of Jesus Christ living out their witness for him. And in some ways, I feel really nostalgic today. It's been a while since I've come back to Liverpool to preach. It's like coming back to the promised land, isn't it? You know, it's great to be able to do that and to witness the Church of Jesus Christ in worship and to walk around these facilities and just as a symbol of what God is doing amongst you. It really is thrilling to see that. And in a sense, I've observed from a distance Old Rome Baptist Church, knowing John and Linda for many years and knowing Ken and Dorian and other familiar faces as I've looked around this morning and taking an interest and praise God with your journey. It is thrilling because Paul spoke here to the church of the Thessalonians. These were people. These were people like you and like me. This next slide shows another church of people just like you and just like me who are trying to live out their faith in their community. This is a Mwanga Baptist Church in Malawi. Mwanga means the house of the Lord. And when I went there to preach on one particular Sunday morning, they had an all-age Sunday school. Sunday is so important to them that they do like biblical teaching. All the church does Sunday school, and then they have a church service. And in their Sunday school, they were talking about what is the church. And I had a poster with me about with our church, with the building, and with the people. And I asked them all, what is the church? And they all pointed to the people. In the House of God Baptist Church, they pointed to the people as being the church. It's always a reminder of that, isn't it? Because we take it for granted, but sometimes we forget. I helped to support a town centre Baptist church just down the road from us. And they have a fantastic youth work going on. But I was speaking to one of the people afterwards, and there was a day or so after all the youth had met, and they said, oh, look at the mess they've made. And I said, the problem is when nobody makes a mess in the church. Because then we haven't got people in the church. It's a sign when we don't have a mess. That's the time when we worry. The church is about people. You have fantastic facilities. I've been blown away. As John has shown me, I've never worn one of these earphone things, the microphone. I feel like I'm in a cockpit in a plane or something, and it's fantastic. But it's a basic thing we need never, ever to forget. The church of the Thessalonians, the church of Jesus Christ, is people who've been called by God into his community. And what a privilege that is. It's a privilege because of a few things. This is one of the reasons. This next slide. Go to the next one. Because this says, the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father. That word in means something like in union with, being united with, being in harmony with, being in agreement with. If you remember when we have a Scottish lady in our church, and she was really worried when the independence vote was going through. She didn't want the vote to go so that Scotland would become independent. And we talked a lot about the union. But in that debate, a lot of that union was about what can I get out of it? Is it better for me to be in the union or not? It seemed a lot of the conversation was about that. But for us to be in union with God, God didn't say, it's not what I get out of it. It's going to cost me everything. It's going to cost me my own son. God has invested so much into his church to be in union with us. Also, it could mean this. I thought John was going to preach my sermon before on the next slide. It also means, in a sense, like a marriage. The Old Testament and New Testament got full of these images of God speaking to his people and saying, our relationship is like a marriage. This particular marriage was in Malawi. There's Patience on the left and Mercy on the right. That was their names. And I've done one or two weddings in Malawi, but this particular wedding, I arrived on the Thursday and they said, Patience and Mercy get married on the Saturday. They would love you to do the wedding. I said, well, I'd like to meet them first. That would be a good idea. So we had on the right there, on a bus ride, 15 minutes marriage preparation. Now, to be fair, the pastors had done their groundwork beforehand. It wasn't just last minute. But they said the wedding's going to take place at 7:30 in the morning on a Saturday. Now, I knew it wasn't going to be 7:30, but just in case, I got there for 7, just in case. 7:30 came, of course, it didn't start then. 8 o'clock came. It didn't happen then. 8:30 came. There was people there, but it didn't start. 9 o'clock came. Still, the wedding wasn't starting. 9:15. And I turned to the pastor who was sat next to me, and Pastor Lawrence, and he was going to interpret for me. And I said, Pastor Lawrence, we're a little bit late now, you know, getting on to like 2 hours. And he said 7:30 starts, and he looked at the order of service. And on the order of service, it had all the details. They said, if you notice, we've only publicized the day of the wedding. we haven't actually publicized what time it starts. And he looked at me and says, therefore, he said, we can never be late. And he had a point, And we did start at 9:30 and everything was fine. But Pastor Lawrence said to me, the thing is, he said, see, in the West, he said, you have the clock. He said, but Malawi, we have the time. And it's a good point to think about, isn't it? That in this relationship God has committed to us, he's given us time for one another. And the thing is with Patience and Mercy, they wanted the full marriage service. The full marriage service. And I want you to think for a minute as I read these words, some of the words that were shared at that wedding and many weddings. But think of it in the context of God speaking to you and his church. This is God's commitment to you in this relationship, okay? So these are some of the words that were shared at that wedding. Marriage is given. Now think of Jesus, think of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, in union with us. So that husband and wife, or maybe God and his people, may comfort and help each other. God is absolutely committed to comforting you and helping you. Living faithfully together in need and in plenty, in sorrow and in joy. In this relationship, God is committed because of who he is. He will be absolutely faithful to you. Now, the thing is, I'm not always faithful. Sometimes I rebel and wander away. In fact, if I was God, I might have divorced me by now. But God says, no, I am absolutely committed to you. There's lots of pictures of that in the scripture, the prodigal son, when God may even allow us to wander away. But it doesn't mean that he stopped watching and waiting and hoping and praying for you to return. God is absolutely faithful to you in Christ Jesus. In need and in plenty, in sorrow and in joy, whatever season you're going through, whether you're full of the joys of spring and rejoicing, God is faithful. Or if you're going through a really tough time and wonder where God is and finding it hard to hear his voice, God is still faithful. He's committed to this relationship with you. The words of the wedding went on. It is given that with delight and tenderness, they may know each other in love. What a thing about this relationship with God, that he delights in us. That God wants to, as it were, know us. I know he knows us perfectly, but that sense of building a relationship and that we can get to know Almighty God. What a wonderful thing to be in this relationship that is like a marriage with God. And the last bit of this little part of this wedding service said this, it is given so that the stability it imparts to their relationship may be a source of strength to others. God's relationship with his church gives us stability in our own lives. The best place to flourish as a human being is in relationship with God and in his church, and for the church to be a strength to others. That other people in the community and beyond will look at the church and say, I can see Jesus, and I can see the love of God, and I want some of that. The church in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, like a marriage that is absolutely a relationship where God is committed to us, that God will be faithful even when we are unfaithful. God knew what we were like when he entered into relationship with us. He didn't think, you know what, I'm really going to reveal myself to A, B, or C, Joe Bloggs, whoever you are, because they're really a fantastic person and they're going to do everything right. God knew what he was taking on, and he still committed to us. What a fantastic God we have. The results of all this, and I'm just going to state these things because I know time is going on. The result of this is a community filled with grace and peace. If you read the rest of the Thessalonians in that chapter, a community filled with grace and peace. When we have received so much, you can't help but give a little bit out as well. When we've received so much grace and the peace of God, we want to work at it in our own communities, to be grace-filled communities, to be a community committed to Jesus. Paul in this passage talked about they were imitators of the Lord, where Christ is that center, where we discuss things with the Lord and pray about things, committing our lives to him. A community empowered by the Holy Spirit. We realize we can't do this in our own strength. We need God in everything. And finally, a community to witness. And through all this, it's not what the church does that's necessarily the witness. It's important what we do, but it's who we are in God and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because all of a sudden those works don't just become works, but they become God-anointed acts where the love of God can reach all people. And it's lovely then to see the church then fulfilling that prayer that Jesus prayed. Before he was crucified in John 17, he said, "My prayer is not for them alone, just for the disciples, but I pray also for those who believe in me through their message, that all of you, all of them, may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you've sent me." You know, until I went to college, I never knew anything about Celtic Christianity, and probably a lot of people think it's not worth knowing anything about Celtic Christianity. But it was probably the greatest growth of evangelism. Before the church got organized, it was probably the greatest growth of evangelism ever seen in our nation and across Europe. And their form of witness was to be a community of love, prayer, and hospitality. They, in a sense, defined their spirituality. In a cynical pagan world, a grace-filled community changed the world. What a privilege for us to be in God and in the Lord Jesus Christ as his people. The local church is worth our commitment. It's worth our love. It's worth our energy. It's worth forgiveness and peace and grace and all those things which we need to make it work. But when it does, it's a witness to the world. And it's a power to the world that the world desperately needs at this time. Shall we pray? Father God, we thank you for the church of Jesus Christ in this place, in this time, in this season, for the call that you have on each one of our lives. Lord, may we grow in grace and peace as we get to know you better. Lord, change us and shape us to be more like Christ, so that when people look at the church, they see Jesus. Father, fill us afresh, we pray, with your Spirit, that we may live and work and serve you with all our hearts. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.